So a pastor who was a student at a seminary once explained that he didn't preach about prophecy because prophecy distracts people from the present. One of his professors observed, there is certainly a lot of distraction in the Bible, in the scriptures. I've heard similar things from well-meaning saints over the years. Perhaps some of you have made this argument yourselves. If so, I hope today's talk will begin to change your mind as it will give you an appreciation for biblical prophecy. So why study prophecy? And the scripture that I've chosen to kind of highlight this is John 14:29. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. So let's look at 10 reasons why we should study prophecy. First reason is prophecy is a major part of divine revelation. In the Bible, there is a principle called the law of proportions. It simply means that you can determine the importance of a subject by how much attention is devoted to it. Do you know how much of the biblical text is prophetic? Can somebody just shout out how much you think of the Bible is prophetic, a percentage? Just a wild guess. Alan?
Well, I'm going to say
40%. 40%. Ethan? Just a wild guess.
20?
Hudson? You don't know? Just give me a wild guess. It's more than 1% and less than 100. 90. Wow. All right. Well, let's look at this. 70. We got a 70. Any more?
60.
Okay. Well, it's somewhere in there. I think Ethan was the closest. So the Bible contains 31,124 verses. The Old Testament contains 1,239 predictions. There are 6,641 of the 23,210 Old Testament verses that contain prophecies. So 28.5% of the Old Testament verses are prophetic. What about the New Testament? The New Testament contains 578 predictions. There is 1,711 of the 7,914 New Testament verses are prophetic. So then 21.5% of the New Testament contains prophetic verses. This is significant. Over 20% of the New Testament is prophetic. Certainly, this outlines the importance of prophecy to the Christian. How else can we look at this? When you look at the whole Bible in total, there is about 27% of the whole Bible is prophetic, or it contains prophecy. There are 737 separate prophetic topics in the Bible. And here's a few more facts. Of the 333 prophecies concerning Christ, only 109 were fulfilled by his first coming, leaving 224 yet to be fulfilled. There are over 300 references to the Lord's coming in the New Testament, one of every 30 verses. There's 23 of the 27 New Testament books mention the Lord's coming. And Jesus refers to his second coming at least 21 times. So I hope you're beginning to see the significance of prophecy in the Bible. Here are a few more facts. 1,527 Old Testament passages refer to the second coming. The second coming is mentioned 8 times more than the first coming. I was quite surprised to hear that. The second coming hasn't occurred yet. Believers are exhorted to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ over 50 times. Whoops. I had a little too fast there. Surely Christ's second coming is an important topic. Applying the law of proportions, we can confidently conclude that biblical prophecy warrants serious study. It is critical that we understand at least the basics of biblical prophecy. Don't you agree? Reason number two, special blessing is promised to those who study prophecy. Revelations 1:3 says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Blessing is promised to those who read, listen, and obey the words of the prophecy of the book of Revelation. Revelation 22:7 says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of this prophecy of this book." And Revelation 22:14, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." And you can also see a similar similar blessing references in Revelations 14:13, 16, 15, 19, 9, and 20, verse 6. Reason number three, and maybe the most important, you could argue that, is prophecy is all about Christ. Revelations 19:10 says, and this is when John was confronting an angel that was talking to him about all the wonderful things that he would be seeing in heaven. It says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. If prophecy is all about Jesus, we should definitely be studying it so that we come to know him better. N'est-ce pas? From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is filled with prophecies that point in some way to the Savior, to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Reason number four, prophecy gives us a proper perspective. It tells us that there is a beginning and there is an end to history. The beginning, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Talks about an ending. Mark 13:31, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Prophecy gives us a purpose and a goal. It guides us to where we are going. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Prophecy points to an existence beyond the grave. 1 Corinthians 15:42, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption." Mark Hitchcock, in his book, The End, wrote this, "Bible prophecy is the vehicle God has given us to reveal his plan for history and to provide a goal in our thinking about life and its ultimate meaning and purpose." Reason number five, prophecy helps us understand the whole Bible. If you do not understand prophecy at least a little, you will be lost in huge portions of the Old Testament and in several books of the New Testament. We must be able to accurately handle the word of truth in its entirety and in context. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Reason number six, prophecy is a tool for evangelism. God often uses the prospect of end times and the second coming of Christ to awaken a need to seek truth. I think this has been especially true in the recent few years in our world, as we've seen our world turned upside down in many different ways. Randall Price has said this, "In every generation where prophecy has been properly proclaimed, the results have been a harvest of souls to the glory of God." Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." So Bible prophecy fascinates many people, even unbelievers. God's word will accomplish that which he has determined. Ultimately, that is the salvation of souls. I suspect that there are probably some in my hearing today with whom Bible prophecy was a factor in their coming to the Lord. Prophecy. Reason number seven. Prophecy helps us to protect believers from heresy. The lack of knowledge of Bible prophecy has led to much heresy. For example, in 2 Peter chapter 3, people mocked the idea that Christ was to return. 2 Peter 3:1-7. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. What were they saying? They were saying that where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of the holy or of ungodly man. So we see here he's comparing the Old Testament era where there was Noah's flood. And it took time before that occurred. There was much wickedness and took Noah 100 years to build. But eventually the flood came. And so we can expect that the future for the earth is going to come as well. It may not come when we expect it, but it will come. And as well, history is replete with examples of those who have misused biblical truth, especially prophecy. For example, we've had date setters over the centuries. I'm sure you remember folks that have set dates as to when Christ would return. Never happened. The Bible tells us explicitly that we are not to do that. We don't know the day or the hour. We can also think of David Koresh, the Heaven's Gates cult, the Mormons, the Jehovah Witnesses, etc. All have twisted scripture, especially prophecy, to hoodwink the unexpecting and the ignorant. An accurate understanding of Bible prophecy protects God's people from those who would misuse it. Reason number eight. Prophecy motivates us to live godly, lives in light of eternity. Charles Dyer emphasized the practical purpose of Bible prophecy when he said, God gave us prophecy to change our hearts, not to fill our heads with knowledge. God never predicted future events just to satisfy our curiosity about the future. Every time God announces events that are future, he includes in his predictions practical expectations to life. God's pronouncements about the future carry with them specific advice for the here and now. End of quotation. For example, in Jesus' teachings on his second coming, Jesus taught this. Luke 21:34-36. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting or in excess and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So since Christ is coming back for us, we ought to take heart. This very good advice, avoid excesses, avoid drunkenness. Don't let the cares of this life overtake you. Be watchful and pray. Reason number nine, prophecy reveals the sovereignty of God over time and history. I read a story once of someone who went to see a psychic, but there was a sign on the door that read, closed due to unforeseen circumstances. Not very reassuring, is it? It's one reason why scripture is clear that we are not to consult psychics or mediums. With God, however, there is no unforeseen circumstances. God knows everything. He's omniscient. He is present everywhere at all times, He is omnipresent, and he is also all-powerful, omnipotent. Only the true God can accurately predict the future. This fact alone is a powerful evidence of the accuracy of the Bible and its author, God. Isaiah 42:9. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. So God is the only one that can tell us events that will take place in the future. Reason number 10. Prophecy proves the truth of God's word. A Chinese proverb says something like this: don't try to make predictions, especially those concerning the future. This applies to man, but it doesn't apply to God. Prophecy scholar John Walvoord has said that the Bible contains about 1,000 prophecies, of which about 500 have already been fulfilled. The Bible has an amazing track record of 100% accuracy, 100% of the time. It proves the Bible is from God, and we can trust it. We can trust the remaining prophecies about Christ's return, that they will most certainly come to pass. Isaiah 46, 8-10 says, remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are yet done, that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So having looked at 10 reasons to study prophecy, let's have a quick look at some things that have already been fulfilled in regards to Christ's first coming. I will list the Old Testament prophecy first and then indicate the New Testament fulfillment. So here, he was of the tribe of Judah. The prophecy was in Genesis 49:10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And the fulfillment, Hebrews 7:14, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which the tribe of Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And he was of the house of David. 2 Samuel 7:12 to 13, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And the fulfillment, Romans 1:3, concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh. Was made according to the seed of David. He was born of a virgin and called Emmanuel. The prophecy, Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And the fulfillment, Matthew 1, 22-23. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Isn't that amazing? Most of you seem quite impressed, but some of you don't. So I'm not quite sure. Maybe we should look at a few more fulfilled prophecies. He was born in Bethlehem. Micah 5:2. Be thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And the fulfillment, Matthew 2:5-6, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. What else? He was worshipped by wise men and given gifts. Psalm 72:10-11. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. And the fulfillment, Matthew 2:1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And what did they bring with them? Matthew 2:11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. He was in Egypt for a season. Hosea 11:1 says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. And the fulfillment, Matthew 2:15, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. He made a triumphal entry into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And of course, an ass is a donkey. Another word for that, for a donkey. Matthew 21, 4-5 is the fulfillment. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And his betrayal money was used to buy a potter's field. How specific are these prophecies, aren't they? That's very specific. You can't say that they're general and that they could have been fulfilled one way or another. They're so very specific. Zechariah 11, 12-13 is the prophecy. And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver, not 29, not 31, 30. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. And the fulfillment, Matthew 27, 9-10. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. He was raised from the dead. Psalm 16:10, one of the many places that it speaks of this. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And Matthew 28, 5-7, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. So these are just a few examples of the prophecies of Jesus' first coming. I've listed 9 of the roughly 109 prophecies regarding Jesus' first coming. As we study fulfilled prophecies, it gives us great confidence that unfulfilled prophecies of future events will also come to pass. So as you can see, there are many reasons to study prophecy. Primarily, it will strengthen your faith to see that biblical prophecies have been fulfilled exactly as stated by the prophets. If that is the case, we can expect unfulfilled prophecies to also be fulfilled exactly as stated in due time. I trust that this presentation will encourage you to take prophecy seriously and to endeavor to study it. Now, should the Lord tarry, should we still be around, I hope to present many more teachings on this subject. And as a bit of a conclusion, go back to the scripture that I started with, John 14:29. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it does come to pass, you might believe. Now, just a thought that I had regarding this scripture was that The scripture could prove to be a key 11th reason for studying prophecy. Have you given any thought about the people, perhaps our loved ones, that are left behind after the rapture? The Bible's prophecies of future events may be a catalyst for their becoming believers during the tribulation period, since the rapture and subsequent prophesied events will be unfolding before their eyes. If unbelievers know something of end times events now, there's a greater chance, I believe, that they will believe in Jesus if they observe the results of the rapture and subsequent prophesied events as we see in Scripture, and especially in the book of Revelation. The Bible does hint that there will be many that will come to Christ during the tribulation period, although it will be at a very steep cost. I do not recommend that anyone wait for the tribulation period to come to Christ. This will be a horrible time for the inhabitants of the earth, especially those that come to Christ during this period. You can avoid this possibility by coming to Christ today. I just want to present the ABCs of salvation. It's just one of the ways that a person can present salvation to someone else. But it's important, as we never know who might be hearing, who might be seeing on YouTube channel, or perhaps there's even some here today that have not received the Lord as their Savior. So what is the ABCs of salvation? The A is for admit you are a sinner. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us, if we are honest with ourselves, will realize that we have sinned, we have broken the Ten Commandments, we have lied, perhaps we have lusted after others, perhaps we have used the Lord's name in vain. It's called blasphemy. It's a very serious thing. And so, what is the result of that, of our sin? Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but you will see that it does not end there. There is a beautiful promise. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. The B is for believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and that God raised Jesus from the dead. Romans 10:9-10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So what do we do? C is for call upon the name of the Lord. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. And so this is what I have today, and I hope that if you haven't given your life to the Lord, that you will do so sooner rather than later.